gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is so weird. I've spent the whole weekend wrapped in a musty old blanket watching old videos of myself, too.
I am big. It's the picture that got small.
Terrorism or loserdom? Who can say? That looks like my life.
It kind of does.
It's kind of sad. Oh, boy.
I think you have that exact same TV in your office, actually.
That's exactly what my office looks like. I wear that same knit cap. Wait a minute. All right, 6 minutes after the hour. And I spoke at my alma mater just so I could feel really old. I spoke at USC this weekend.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go?
I graduated, I realized, 1,000 years ago.
Well, I'm sure things have changed on the campus.
Yes. Yes.
The place where you got your pink squirrels is no longer there.
No. What?
Huh?
Okay.
Isn't that what you threw up on the 405?
No. Grasshoppers.
Grasshoppers.
That's
okay.
Different. Oh. Pink squirrel. What the hell's that?
Oh, it's something my grandparents made. It was like a pink frothy alcoholic drink.
I'm not that old. StephanieMiller.com, the website.
I'm sure there's a bartender out there who can tell you how to make a pink squirrel.
All right. You can see. Hey, you can see us now on StephanieMiller.com. The Ustream is right up there on the homepage.
Yep.
And we have another big show. Rude Pundit Chaz Bono on the big show today.
That's
She's
right.
going to be on Oprah today.
He.
See what I did there
see
already?
What you did there?
You see what I did? If Cher has trouble, I'm still,
get it out of your system before he comes
okay.
on.
Okay. Edie McClurg for Mondays with McClurg. All right. And if you're, let's just say, a really big city in the Midwest, I'd start to get really excited about a really big announcement about Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show coming soon. I'm just saying, not to drop any hints or anything.
A really big city.
Particularly if it were a really big weekend there.
Does the city have broad shoulders?
Shush.
What?
All right. You know, you overhint now.
Oh,
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Let's dive into the right-wing world with our good friend, Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
Wow, you have a great piece this week about, and I thought it was just me, that you're really thinking, you know, how would this possibly be bad for America that we've killed bin Laden? And you write about how, you know, the depths that Obama derangement syndrome has actually fallen to.
Yeah, it's interesting that each sort of passing month there's sort of a new story that, you know, the Obama haters decide whether they're going to sort of cross over into, you know, this winter was the birther story.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them had resisted that through the first 2 years of his presidency, and then Trump showed up and they decided, oh, what the hell? And this looks like fun. We'll do it. And then they all got humiliated in the end. And now with the killing of bin Laden, it's, you know, it's another opportunity to prove you're either sane or insane. And a lot of them couldn't resist. They
yeah, well,
just cannot physically resist. And so, yes, they looked at the story of, you know, the president overseeing the killing of bin Laden, and they decided, of course, the president was the bad guy.
Yeah, I love that. Don't you love this weekend that they bleed al-Qaeda before the president? Oh, al-Qaeda says he's dead, so now we believe. I mean, this is the point we've gotten to, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, and it's just amazing. And to me, it's sort of beyond Obama derangement syndrome. Now we're into sort of the Obama dead enders, and there's
right.
just absolutely no talking or logic to any of these people. And, you know, the president did something horribly wrong. They're not quite sure how. They're sort of flailing around, but they know he's to blame for this counterterrorism success. And you just sort of take a couple steps back, and you're like, wow, you know. Where are we going to go from here? I mean,
right.
how can you dig any deeper than this?
Well, I'm waiting for the conspiracy theory that the president, being a Muslim extremist himself, is working with al-Qaeda. That's why, you know, they're in tandem.
That's right.
He's not really
yeah.
dead.
It It's sort of like he's a socialist, but the stock market is, you know, going
yeah.
through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, if he's a Muslim sympathizer, he's doing an awful job. And if he's a socialist, he's doing a really bad job.
Well, yeah.
Being
write,
a socialist.
Yeah, and you write about how this Bin Laden story has acted as a filter. You know, so you say, you know, and you're going to find out who's really on off way off on the nutty train and who isn't. You say, led by Rush Limbaugh, The Washington Times, portions of Fox News, bloggers who write for Andrew Breitbart, the dead enders, as you say, have spent the week not only refusing to credit Obama, but have been parading their contempt around in full view. I mean, it's from everything, right? From the retweet Lang to the way he made the announcement.
I mean, you can tell they just literally cannot stand to watch him on TV for more than 10 or 20 seconds. I mean, last Sunday night when he gave that very straightforward, dignified announcement about the killing, they were just freaking out. One of my favorite ones was, you know, oh, he couldn't stop talking about himself. That speech Sunday night was all I, me, and mine. And he's so arrogant, that guy. And I actually happened to take the time to count up the number of times he said I and me and mine, and it was about 12. And the number of times he said we, ours, and us was 80.
If you're counting.
But, you know, he's so arrogant, he wouldn't stop saying I. He barely even mentioned himself.
Well, I love, as you say, completely unhinged Breitbart blogger Pam Geller accused him of shamelessly strutting like a peacock. I guess he didn't emulate that very humble demeanor that George Bush had when landing on the aircraft carrier with a codpiece
and
declaring mission accomplished.
Yeah, and Andy Card is, you know, former chief of staff late last week, you know, attacked Obama because he was pounding his chest too much. And remember that arrogant victory lap that, you know, the president took at the World Trade Center, you know, the one where he wouldn't allow cameras to capture anything he said live on television, where he didn't make any public comments and he met privately. I mean, these people are just, they're beyond emphasis.
I love, you say Fox News, Eric Bolling demanded people not thank Obama. Pointedly do not thank him for the, I mean, it just, it's, and as you say, I mentioned this last week, that Pam Geller called the president a bastard. I mean, is there a point where people don't give these people a platform?
It's not like, oh, that bastard. I mean, she means he's sort of a disgusting human being, and she is just beyond help at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like Trump. It's just, okay, shut the cameras off. It's time to stop giving this person a platform of any kind.
And remember, she was, you know, she was the main person for the, you know, leading the opposition to, you know, the Ground Zero Mosque last summer.
Mm-hmm.
She was on every network television channel, and they pretended she was a sane individual.
Yeah.
And it's, she's not.
Yep. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, Eric? Oh, heavens, Liz Cheney.
Oh, God.
This is the other meme, of course, is it's torture, torture, torture.
These are not torture. These are techniques that we know work. Mm. That debate is over. It worked. It got the intelligence. It wasn't torture. It was legal. It seems to me the key question now is we've got this trove of intelligence, what looks to have been perhaps the biggest trove we've ever been able to get a hold of. If that leads us to other Al-Qaeda operatives, it's not clear to me that we have any way to effectively interrogate them. We don't have enhanced interrogation anymore. We read people their Miranda rights. We are not detaining people at Guantanamo anymore. We're not detaining people in the secret prison sites. It's not clear to me what the administration will be able to do to get this information.
Wow.
The administration will be able to get Bin Laden. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. It really it would
take Liz Cheney and her father.
Yeah. Well, I know exactly. And the other thing is, Eric, here we are in right-wing world. It's the opposite of the truth. You're going, people that, whether it's Dianne Feinstein or whoever, have unequivocally come out and said, we did not get this information through torture.
Right, I mean, right. Oh, yeah. And if you watch the Sunday shows, especially on Fox, I mean, that is the last grasp that they have. You know, they didn't get Bin Laden.
Right.
You know, Democrats are now strong in national security. I mean, everything is slipping away, and sort of they're on the edge of the cliff, grabbing onto this last remaining rope.
Yeah.
Torture works. Torture works. Torture works. And that's definitely the talking point, even though the it has not been proven yet.
I was watching a lot of Fox News over the weekend and Fox News Sunday and all that, and they said that we got a lot of information through the use of enhanced interrogation. I'm like, did I miss a piece of news or something?
Yeah.
No, they announced it, therefore it's news, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, except in the reality world, the reality-based world, the opposite was announced.
Exactly.
Okay, Sean Hannity, here we go.
The only reason we were able to kill Bin Laden on Sunday is because, let's see, Gitmo, enhanced interrogation, rendition, black sites, all of these tactics that Barack Obama himself opposed.
Wow.
Well, if you read some of the analysis, it's very interesting. I mean, the other talking point is, you know, If you were going to give the president credit, we're going to give him credit for continuing Bush's policies. You know, good for him. He continued Bush's policies. You know, if you listen to some of the analysis, the reason we got bin Laden is because he did not continue the policies.
Right.
He decided to turn this thing around and put people back on the case. He did a U-turn from what Bush was doing when he left office.
Yeah. I mean, how do you spin that Bush shut down the bin Laden unit?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, on top of saying, I don't know where he is, I don't spend much time on him.
And we don't really care. Yeah, I mean, if you just take a couple steps back, I mean, the argument last week, you know, that Bush couldn't get bin Laden for 7 years, therefore he deserves credit for getting bin Laden.
Right.
I mean, it's just absolutely comical.
By the way, Eric, were you struck by the same thing I was, too, that you know, as they just mentioned, this whole trove of information, I mean, everything we found so far, that proves the other huge thing the Bush administration was wrong about. Remember, they were saying, oh, he's been marginalized, he's in a cave somewhere, and he's not. This was the nerve center for Al-Qaeda. He was running Al-Qaeda actively. You know?
If we can't get him, he's not important. But by the way, he happened to be running the entire operation.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Eric Bollert remains in the sidecar. 17 minutes after the hour, we continue with more Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's a distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Won't you take me to Funky
Town? Won't you take me to Funky Town? Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. AIDS is not over. Support Brian's 300-mile, four-day bike ride and prove that progressives still care about HIV/AIDS victims. We have not forgotten. Give $50 or $500 at stephaniemiller.com right now. That's our friend Brian Tirani of the Mike 92.1 FM.
That's right.
In Madison.
And the link is right there at the very top of the live blog on the homepage of stephaniemiller.com.
Indeed. Eric Bollert rejoins us from Media Matters to finish up Right Wing World. Oh, Brent Bozell.
Look, you want to praise the man for the president for what he did? I'm all for that. He did a great job. Mm-hmm. But my God, where were they when George Bush won us the war in Iraq? Why are they praising him? And why can't they give him the most minimal praise? It is because of this man's techniques that they condemned all these years. It's
That's
because
true.
Of those techniques that man is dead today.
Wow. Would you like to unravel that ball of yarn?
I love, as Media Matters pointed out, basically Brent Bozell's talking point and the way, and it's shared by a lot of people. Bush gets all the credit and none of the blame, even though he's not in office or anything like that. It's amazing. I mean, A, when did, I must have missed when Bush won the war in Iraq.
Yes.
And Bozell is just, you know, these people are just obsessed with trying to get Bush some sort of credit. And really, that's a masquerade for not giving Obama any credit whatsoever. So, it's a little hypocritical for them to whine about, why won't we give credit to the person who left office 2.5 years ago?
By the way, did it strike you the same way that I think Maureen Dowd wrote about this weekend, that George Bush, you know, apparently just stayed home in Dallas in a snit, you know, rather than take this moment that would have truly been a bipartisan moment for America and, you know, accept the president's invitation to be at ground zero, but... I mean, it's a crack up. You don't even know where to start with. Okay, so the illegal war based on a bunch of lies that diverted us from getting bin Laden, and that is considered a victory of some sort?
The tens of thousands of troops we took out of Afghanistan and poured into Iraq, which has now all been, it was all a brilliant plan by George Bush to get bin Laden 7 years later.
Yeah, exactly. See how he did that? All right, Steve Ducey on the Fox and Friends.
This administration does not use the advanced and enhanced interrogation techniques.
But what are they using?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Are they using just the questionnaires that Gretchen was talking about? Let's hope. Let's hope there's more to it than that.
No. We're giving them manicures, pedicures, having the colors done.
This is what they're grasping at. You know, torture work. This is they're trying to get some success out of this whole story last week, and what they're clinging to is, you know, Bush was brilliant for instituting torture. It'd be interesting. I haven't seen any polling. I don't know if people are buying it or what else, but they do seem sort of petty, scrambling around, you know, desperate not to give credit where it's due, and then trying to concoct this notion that, you know, the Obama administration basically lucked into getting bin Laden despite all their awful policies or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Ooh, Andrew Breitbart.
This is a presidency that's being run by proxy by way of the unions, and it's thuggery. It's happening in battles that you see in terms of people versus people in Wisconsin, the thuggery against the Tea Party up there.
Wow. And so those aren't people that are in unions.
They're just thugs.
That's thuggery.
Yeah.
If he could go on TV for more than 30 seconds and not whine, it would be
All right. Neil Cavuto in panel to finish.
The Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius is calling out the Republicans' plan to deal with Medicare and taking scare tactics to a new level.
The Democrats continue to use these scare tactics. And it's at a point where I find it I'm very resentful of it, because I think they've always played this game. These people want to hurt you. These people are after you. It just makes the country weaker overall.
Wow. So by pointing out the obvious that their plan to, quote unquote, deal with Medicare is to pretty much, blow it up. That's just that's a fear mongering.
It's thuggery.
Yeah.
You can't, and if you push back, you're being, you know, you're being a meanie. If you're trying to offer up another plan, you know, these people start running for, you know.
Yeah.
Running for the hills. They're being mean.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Eric Bollard, another delightful Monday with you. We will see you next week, my friend.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there. The more important thing is Hannah is a grasshopper maker bartender. Hello, Hannah. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi. Can I be the former bartender of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Boy, howdy. Go ahead.
Yeah, when I was in school, they taught us that a grasshopper was three parts cream, one part green creme de menthe.
And you
chill it and strain it into a glass.
I don't think alcohol should ever be mixed with heavy cream.
Yeah, that's
doesn't it coagulate?
But Hannah, what he mentioned that I was drinking at USC when I did throw up on the 405 was the actual pre-bottled kind, which was even grosser.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, those are my grandma's favorites. So that's the one thing I took away from school.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what's the other one? The Kahlua and the cream. Kahlua and cream.
Kahlua
right?
and cream.
I don't know what that's called. What's that called?
Kahlua. Oh my gosh.
It's a Kahlua and cream, I think.
I bartended for a year.
All right. Thank you, Hannah.
No problem.
All right. There we go. Ooh, yeah, grasshopper. Ah, cream dimension.
Oh, so you had like pre-made grasshoppers?
Yeah, that we stopped and got on the.
Oh, dude.
Oh, memories. Yes, I spoke at USC at my alma mater, Biden.
Do they serve grasshoppers?
Yes, I spoke to the Lavenders, the gay graduates of USC, and I said,
"Which you were one."
Well, yeah, except I said, "Wow, it was like 30 years ago, almost I graduated." I said I was 30 pounds heavier and straight then. Who knew? I actually did. You remember I dated the USC football player?
You did.
Yes, I was there on a full football scholarship as a middle linebacker because, as I mentioned, I was considerably heavier.
Are there yearbook pictures?
If they are, I've destroyed them. I know. I hope they can't be
found.
Oh,
there has to be a USC graduate from 1982 who has a yearbook picture of you.
I'm a 1983. I have a degree in drama from USC, and I said that's enabled me to get a job in virtually any 7-Eleven in this country. So good luck, kids. I'm a little dark for a graduation speaker. Yeah.
You're not like Michelle Obama.
No.
No.
29 to the hour. Good luck. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I only see a beautiful clown.
Aww.
Thank you.
The saddest, most beautiful clown.
Crying on the inside kind of clown. Laughing on the outside. 34 minutes after the hour. Thank you, Pro Flowers. I was able to suck up to my 88-year-old Republican mother. We had sort of a
tiff?
Well, when Glenn Beck was canceled, she was very... who knew she was so oversensitive about it? So we're all fine now, thanks to the magic of 100 blooms. We had a lovely Mother's Day conversation. All right. Kids, Sexy Liberal Show Saturday in Syracuse, New York. Get your tickets now at the Krauss-Heinz Theater in Syracuse. We're very excited. Sexy Liberal Show this Saturday, May 14th. Go to Ticketmaster. Tickets going fast.
Mm.
Oh, by the way, Camellia sent me a card. When Osama bin Laden dead, maybe we can finally go through an airport without being treated like we're Osama bin Laden. Thank you. Oh. Thank you. Thank you, Camellia.
Can we bring more than 3 ounces of liquid on?
Yeah, exactly.
Please?
All right, let's talk to his rude pundit.
Sleep up at the rude pundit. Pundit.
And he's becoming a favorite on the Ed Show.
Oh, he's beautiful on television. Good morning. You're really wasted on the radio, your rudeness.
Oh, thank you. It's so nice to occasionally look at the TV and in reruns and say, holy crap, that's me. Oh, God.
Looky, I'm in the TV. You know what? I bet you sit at home in an old blanket looking at old videos of yourself endlessly.
Yes, I do. I do. And I call over my bald manservant to bring me my kitten to stroke.
So, your rudeness, some great stuff. We were just obviously in right-wing world talking about this is the talking point, torture, torture, torture. And as you write, even if a piece of information was given up 8 years ago that was some small piece in the final puzzle, we also know that waterboarded prisoners and others gave tons of false information, things that threw American intelligence off the trail for years and had them chasing phantoms. How much time was wasted? How long was justice delayed? You might have had a case had a waterboarded Khalid Sheikh Mohammed said immediately, oh, Osama's living large in a pimped-out Pakistan compound, and here's the address. Yeah, everything's so simple in right-wing world, isn't it?
It really is. You know, they've got this scenario. They've got this one scenario that torture that they can cling to for torture. If, you know, like a super bomb was going to go off at an orphanage in 1 minute, and you needed the code to shut it down. Then, okay, maybe you could get rough with somebody. But bin Laden, yes, he was obviously much more involved in Al-Qaeda than we had previously believed. But this wasn't some urgent, obviously not urgent, since we didn't get him for 10 years. I don't see why they find there some kind of justification other than to justify their own existence and everything they believed and everything they invested in for 8 years.
Yeah. I love how they've used the president killing bin Laden as somehow proof that he's still weak in the war on terror. What? I mean, and how could this operation have been much more successful, right?
Oh, yeah. You mean like John Yoo saying that, and when he wrote in the Wall Street Journal and he said at a talk later that that really what we should have done is brought bin Laden back and tortured him?
Yeah,
because that would certainly not have inflamed anybody in the Muslim world.
No.
You want to get sympathy? You want to get sympathy for somebody, imprison them for a long period of time and torture them.
Yeah, I love people, you know, even on the left, willing to, like, you know, second guess the Navy SEAL's judgment. Really? You've got bin Laden in your sights and he's going for a weapon and you're going to think about it a little while longer?
You know, even if it was just, you know what, we're going to go kill the bastard, you know? I don't know that there's many people who, if we're going to in any way say that this war has a valid beginning, because there was the this actually had some kind of congressional authorization. Do what you can to get the people involved in 9/11. That really was passed by Congress, unlike every other war, you know, after and a few before. And this time it was, what do you do with the leading general in a war?
Yeah.
If you can take them out, you take them out.
Yeah. And the other thing I was thinking this weekend, the president obviously, you know, got together with the Navy SEAL team. And I'm thinking that guy, the guy that actually shot him in the eye, that guy will never need Cialis for the rest of his life, do you think?
Oh, yeah, no.
He's going to make his wife say that every, like, yeah, say it again.
You know what I hope?
You
I
shot
hope
bin Laden in the eye.
I hope he makes his husband say that.
Yeah, I was just saying that this weekend at USC to the gay group. I said, how much you want to bet one of those Navy SEALs was gay? And if Osama bin Laden knew that, it would have killed him again.
Yep. I want it to be a gay Muslim.
You know, I hope that the guy that shot him was gay and he told him right before he died. Yeah. By the way, I'm also a gay.
Yeah. By the way, here's the worst kind of infidel come for you. Every nightmare you've ever had, Osama, is about to come true. You know, it's still, and again, as a good liberal, we still have to say, there is something a little, you know, a little weird about celebrating somebody's death. However, if you were going to celebrate somebody's death, you know, this is not a bad time to break out the champagne.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I know people make far too many Hitler analogies, but, oh, give me a break. Like anybody was supposed to go, oh, you know, we really shouldn't be happy. But yes, we should.
No, I you know, like I said last week, I'm a pacifist. I am anti-capital punishment. But, you know, sometimes the only thing that somebody deserves is a bullet in the eye.
Well, yeah. And the other thing, I mean, people are like, oh, I think we can agree that we should, you know, a trial. I'm like, no. Emotionally, I don't. And like, that's supposing that you're going to get accurate information from bin Laden. Somehow you're going to learn more. I mean, they got, what did they call it? A small library of stuff in this raid. I mean, that's why it was done perfectly. It was riskier to do it this way, but you know, look at what they got, right?
I want to know what porn he was looking at.
Yeah,
because,
I mean,
you know, I don't care how many wives you have in a compound. At some point, you got to think, okay, there's this one thing they won't do. And I'm going to go online and find, you know, the strangle porn that I need.
So you write about Pakistan. You say, I can't go on the roof of my apartment building and smoke a cigarette without a half dozen neighbors yelling at me. So don't tell me there's a big-ass house with barbed wire in the middle of town and no one knows what's going on. Or in other words, you, Pakistan.
Yep. There's just no way. I was outside in my place the other day, and like every neighbor is like commenting on, oh, you changed the blinds. What? Why are you looking at my blinds?
Right.
Don't look at my windows.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And then you also write, man, Bin Laden was just a pampered see. It's true. I mean, that kind of takes away from his whole mystique, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, he's surrounded by servants. He's not out there in the mountains wandering among the goats like we all thought he was. And instead, he's there living in a, you know, for, let's just say for Pakistan, kind of a nice place. And
once again, as I keep saying, because you just can't say it enough, completely the opposite of what the Bush administration said. One more thing they were hugely, vastly wrong on is, oh, he's been marginalized. He's, you know, we don't care. He's irrelevant. He's in some cave somewhere. Here he is. This place is the nerve center of Al-Qaeda. He's actively running it all these years.
Now, you see, if I were a conspiracy theorist, if I were given to these kinds of things, and I'm not, I believe that, you know, that the Bush administration was just a bunch of incompetent boobs who got it all wrong. But if I were inclined, I might say, well, you know, somebody might have been helping out, keeping him secret. And therefore, Obama had to kill him because that's the only way to keep sort of the big secret secret.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I was saying. It was just kind of ironic this week that I'm going, oh, the right wing believes Al-Qaeda before they believe President Obama.
Exactly.
Because Al-Qaeda says he's a martyr and they vowed revenge and he's dead. And it's like, okay, well, now we, you know, now we believe it because Al-Qaeda said it.
And let's bring it all together and say that what he knew was that 9/11 was an inside job.
Yes.
That's, oh, wow. Oh, yeah. My God. I think I'm aroused by that conspiracy theory.
You write it. Your last post is, it's kind of pathetic to see Republicans sputtering, but Bush, no, Bush, good. You say, you know what? Obama sealed the deal. It's when a lover tells you you're the best she's ever had. Other lovers laid the groundwork, sure, although they're fumbling. And they're decent. Why should she thank them when you're the one who got her off so damn good? You know what? I knew you would make it rude and funny, but that...
Well, thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
True.
And we've all been there. You all, you get to that point where you like, you get that lover who's so great, and then you're like, yeah, you know what? All that other stuff, that was just nice and, you know, but this is the real deal.
Exactly. We finally know the real deal.
We can finally experience ecstasy with a real man.
The president found our G-spot. All right. Your rudeness, we will rootspundit.blogspot.com. Exactly.
Yes. And there are links to where you can get his new book, The Rude Pundit's Almanac,
yes,
and links to his podcast.
Yes.
And it's very exciting. The book's available in England now.
What? Yeah. No way.
What?
Yes. It's international rudeness.
I love every time once in a while I slip and call him Lee, like I just called Superman Clark by Mag.
Yeah.
What?
No!
Yeah, I am wearing my glasses now.
Well, the Chiron below you on the Ed Show says Lee Papa.
Yes, it's allowed.
Okay.
Because Lee Papa is just a cover.
You'll always be rude to me.
Oh, thank
all right,
you.
See you next week, rudeness.
Bye.
Bye, honey. All right. Real quick, Carla in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carla.
Hi. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
A quick comment. I had not heard anyone mention the fact that if Osama bin Laden had been there, was there for 5.5 to 6 years, Bush was president then.
Yep.
He had the same tip that Obama had this time. You know, why didn't he get him back then?
Yeah, because he's an incompetent boob. Thank you, Carla.
Well, he also needs a boogeyman. He also needed a boogeyman to keep us all scared.
Yeah. Because he was tougher on terror because he didn't get him, see?
Mm-hmm.
And the president is weak on terror because he did. So, there. 45.
That's what they kept saying all weekend long on Fox News. You think it's a joke, but no, it's reality to them.
45 minutes after the hour, back with all the latest from the Bin Laden compound as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I'm going out tonight.
What?
On a Monday night.
That's not allowed.
I'm going to see the official girl group of the Stephanie Miller Show, Betty.
Oh, very cool.
Betty playing here in Los Angeles tonight. Come on out. Join the fun.
Where are they playing?
Oh, jeez. Now you've made me forget it.
Well, you're teasing. You're promoting the show.
Oh, God. I got to look it up.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to put you on the
somewhere in Hollywood. I'll figure it out in a second. All right. Chaz Bono coming up after the top of the hour. She's going to be on, or he's going to be on.
Okay,
Oprah Cher. Today. Okay. Let's go to Scott in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
In all this chatter about whether we should have killed or shouldn't have killed bin Laden, I haven't heard anyone talk about the repercussions if you just simply had captured him. Go back to the Achille Lauro how many years ago when you capture the cruise ship. Can you imagine how many potential hostages terrorists would be taking to try to negotiate the release of bin Laden?
You know what, Scott? Great point. I mean, you know, exactly right. I mean, and I think exposing us to even more attacks. I mean, I was thinking. Same thing. And just emotionally, can you imagine? After all the, you know, victims of 9/11 and their families have been through, they've got to sit through this whole trial, you know, while he, all right.
Yeah.
Matt in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
I was thinking it's more likely that because we stopped torturing that we got bin Laden, you know. Bush, I'm claiming credit because of waterboarding, I say. Because we stopped it. That's how it happened.
Right. Well, again, in case you missed it, people that have just been watching Fox News, Chris, who besides Dianne Feinstein, but said unequivocally this information was obtained through standard
John
interrogation.
McCain.
Yeah, John McCain said this was obtained through standard interrogation.
Right.
I mean, we got the intelligence from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed before we waterboarded him 16 billion times.
Also, Donald Rumsfeld said that before he switched his story.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Before the people at the RNC got to him.
All right. Exactly. All right. So all the, obviously, the Osama bin Laden information coming out. I'm going to give people a chance to get the song parodies and everything out of their system.
Oh.
Listener Mike in Raleigh.
I can report to the American people and to the world. The United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda.
My homies told me when they looked down the hall, this might be my last jihad. At least in Kabul I had cable, not so here. It's really bad in Abbottabad. I got myself in the way of a bullet today.
Oh.
I'm in the wrong place, baby. I was killed this way. I was intolerant, they say, so it's ironic today. your seventh wife. Maybe I was killed this way. Poke my head outside the door. Give me 3 steps, Mr. Maybe more. Maybe I was killed this way.
Yeah, baby. Thank you, Lister Mike and Molly. Get that out of your system. That's cute. All right. The U.S. wants access to Bin Laden's 3 widows. Me too. I want to take them out for a... Actually, you know what it is? White Russian. Listener Linda says the Kahlua and cream is a White Russian. I want to take them out for White Russians and grasshoppers.
Okay.
I want to have a little chat with them.
I got a clarification. A White Russian is just Kahlua... a White Russian is Kahlua vodka and...
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yes,
maybe.
But a Kahlua and cream is just Kahlua and milk.
Cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I've gotten another e-card. I love you so much, there's almost no chance I'd use you as a human shield against a Navy SEAL's attack.
Oh,
that's the sweetest new card. How many people do you think have played Navy SEAL's sex games in the bedroom this weekend? I think a few, don't you think?
Sure.
I'm just saying, have you thought about the guy that actually shot him in the eye? He'll never need Cialis the rest of his life. He'll probably have one that lasts more than 40 years.
You'd turn straight for that guy, wouldn't you?
I would.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine? He probably makes say it again. You shot Bin Laden in the eye.
Oh, right there.
Yeah. Show me again. I'm just saying, don't you think a lot of people are, like, rappelling into bedrooms on...
You're easily
turned
on.
Pretend you're a Navy SEAL. What? And I'll pretend I'm one of Bin Laden's wives. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? This is where my mind goes because I'm a big loser.
Huh? I have an active fantasy life.
Indeed, I do.
Whoa.
All right. How about, there's Bin Laden, that's what I was saying earlier in the show, remarkably similar to my life. I sit around in an old blanket, as you know, watching old videos of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Look at him sitting there. I'm still big. It's terrorism that's gotten small.
Well, also, did you see that they released blooper reels?
Yes.
Like, there was one with the light went out and he...
Well, let's have Jim do some of those when he gets
there.
God. Mate, I said all right.
Line.
I'm not reading another damn dead dog dedication. All right. Videos seized from Bin Laden's compound and released by the Obama administration Saturday show him wrapped in an old blanket, watching himself on TV like an aging actor imagining a comeback. This from the New York Times.
I am. It's the pictures that got small.
Was there a monkey funeral?
It's the terrorism that got small. I don't know. A senior intelligence official said other videos showed him practicing and flubbing his lines in front of a camera. He was interested enough in his image, the official said, to dye his white beard black for the recordings. Yeah, like some sort of beard club for men, something.
Dye your hair?
I do not. It's semi-permanent rinse. How dare you?
That's a dye?
No, it's not. It's not the same thing.
What is it then?
I used to use one of those. It's like a hair crayon. I tried that for a while. It's a dark hair crayon that you use.
How'd that work out for you?
Not so good.
Yeah. Hence the use of the past tense.
All right. The president this weekend.
We are going to ultimately defeat Al-Qaeda. We have cut off their head.
God, I love those pictures of him with the, just the firemen and the Navy SEALs. And just happy. I don't care what you say, right wing. A happy day for America, in my personal opinion. The president.
We're moving into a new phase. Starting this summer, we'll begin reducing American forces.
Hooray.
Yay. Yay. It strikes me as exactly what he said when he was campaigning, that you see, Iraq was the wrong war, and he was going to refocus on Afghanistan, and you see the results already, is all I'm saying. Yeah. We're going to finish the job that George Bush didn't finish.
Actually, focused more on Pakistan, though.
Well.
Pakistan's not too happy about that, by the way.
So Osama bin Laden benefited from, quote, some sort of support network, do you think? Inside Pakistan, President Obama said Sunday. But he added it's not clear whether the government officials knew the terrorist leader was living inside their country or not. So, to be continued. Chas Bono joins us next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. Oh, Betty, the official girl group of the Stephanie Miller Show, playing at Hotel Cafe in Hollywood. So that's where, yes.
That's right, on Cahuenga.
Give them a little plug. All right. Speaking of good shows, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show in Syracuse, New York, this Saturday, starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang. Check it out at Ticketmaster.com, or you can go right to the Krause Heinz Theater box office. Mm-hmm. We want to see you Saturday. Some of the proceeds going to the Marriage Equality folks there. Big, big fight in New York right now. Raleigh-Durham coming up Saturday, June 4th. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. Get your tickets. They're going quick. And there's going to be another big announcement very soon about a very big city in the Midwest, where I'd be very excited if I were you about the very big announcement. Okay. All right. So we have lots to get to. I'm so excited to welcome Chaz Bono to the show, who I haven't seen in years. Chaz, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I am excited. You're on Oprah today, right?
I am on Oprah today, yes.
And the documentary airs on the OWN network tomorrow, right, Becoming Chaz?
Yep.
Okay, so you've got a lot going on, and you have a new book out, Transition, the Story of How I Became a Man.
I know, it's crazy.
Now, I don't know if you remember, I think I was a little ahead of the game on this. I think I knew maybe before you did, because you came in studio with me on my old show many years ago and shook my hand, mm-hmm. and I think broke almost every bone in my hand. And I said, that is a firm handshake. So, listen, I got to tell you, I read the piece in the New York Times yesterday, which I thought was great. Did you like it?
I did really like it. I liked it a lot, yeah.
I mean, I just thought, you know, you're so charming and you have such humor about this whole thing and, you know, sort of address people's, it obviously has been, as you said, the one thing you never had the option of being a Sonny and Cher's child is to do this privately.
Right, yeah. And it was, that was probably for me the hardest part was gaining the courage that I needed to do in order to do this with the whole world watching.
Right. Well, I mean, and what I love, they talk about how your mom, Cher, is so real in this film that she obviously is still sort of struggling to a degree.
Yeah, she is. I mean, it's definitely getting better and better, I think. And I think she's getting more comfortable. But it's definitely a struggle. It's really hard for parents. And it, you know, it took me 40 years to start this. So I get it.
Well, I mean, I think as somebody points out in this piece yesterday, they said, you know, it's the essence, it's the death and mourning of chastity, the woman and the adjustment.
Right.
I guess your girlfriend calls it like she's dating Chastity's twin brother now.
that's what she told me at one point, and I get it. I mean, you know, my core is definitely the same, and my values are the same, and my beliefs, but the way that I handle things is a little differently now.
Well, I have to tell you, your girlfriend sounds terrific, and I love the way you describe things about, you know, now that you've made the transition, you say there's something in testosterone that makes talking and gossiping really grating. I've stopped talking as much. I've noticed that Jen can talk endlessly. I just kind of zone out.
It's true. I mean, yeah. It really is true. I didn't realize before, and I don't think most women do, realize how biological the difference between men and women are. I think, you know, I always thought of it socialization and you know, could be hard on men. And now I really get that a lot of it is stuff that it is completely biological. Obviously, I was socialized as a woman and it's things that I just can't really control. And that's one, like, you know, when I'm around a gaggle of girls and it's, you know, gossip time and talking time, I feel like I'm going to jump out of my skin.
I love you say the other weirdest guy thing you do now is you're gadget oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You suddenly developed an interest in gadgets.
Totally.
So the thing I love you say at one point too, I'd be a great relationship counselor because if anybody, you know how both sides think.
Yeah, I do.
Tell me about, I mean, it's interesting in this New York Times piece, I'm sure the questions you've gotten over and over again, they say, could it be possible that the fact that Chaz is now a man is somehow Cher's fault? Did the toxic culture of celebrity damage Chastity Chaz's gender identity? Did Cher's almost drag queen-like hyper-female persona somehow devour Chastity's emerging femininity? I mean, these questions just go on and on. Is it somehow revenge against, you know, all the attention your parents got growing up?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously, I mean, I don't think so. And ultimately, I think the writer is talking about that, you know, these were questions, but I don't think after spending time with me or the filmmaker, she thinks so either. I mean, you know, I think the bottom line is that, you know, for 99% of our culture of human beings, their gender identity and their sex match. You know, you feel like the sex that you are. But for transgender people, you don't. You know, your body is one thing, but the way that you feel inside is that of the opposite sex. And so it makes life very difficult and very uncomfortable. And for me, I needed to transition in order to put myself in proper alignment so I could move through the world in a way that would be where I would finally feel comfortable.
Well, and I think as one of the experts quoted in here says, you know, nobody changes sex or becomes gay to get back at their parents.
Right.
Tell me how you had that process, because obviously you were a lesbian when you were a woman and a gay rights activist. How, mm-hmm. What did that feel like to suddenly realize that's not it? Exactly.
It felt really scary because at that point I was, you know, I really hadn't come to terms with it, and I thought, oh my God, that people are going to think I'm crazy and I'm going to just suffer rejection and humiliation on every level. And it took me almost 10 years to come to terms with it and get past my fears and also get past my kind of innate practice of putting everybody else's needs and feelings above my own.
Well, you know, I'm sure I found it interesting. They quoted Rosie O'Donnell in here as saying that, you know, sometimes even very liberal people or gay people or whatever can have some different thoughts or fears or whatever about transgender people. She said, as a gay woman, I found it hard to understand. I know some very masculine gay women, and I wondered if this wasn't some kind of repressed homophobia where being straight makes it more okay. But all of us struggle with whatever it is, special needs kids, gay people, we all have our speed bumps.
Right.
Has that been an interesting kind of reaction you've gotten that people?
Well, I thought it was interesting that Rosie said, you know, that was an interesting take because, you know, my experience, of course, was so. I mean, I did everything I could to not transition because I was so afraid, and I tried, you know, every kind of thing that I could think of and every way of repressing this in myself. And so, you know, no, it's not life. Life isn't easier as a heterosexual transgender person, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, for me, it took a hundred times more courage for me to come out as transgender than it did for me to come out as a lesbian. And, you know, of course, now I'm completely comfortable with it and feel great and I'm really happy, but you know, being in the closet as a trans person was probably, you know, worse for me than being in the closet as a lesbian because I was older and I knew more and I felt like an incredible hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. The book is the story of how I became a man. You talk in there about how Sonny and Cher reacted differently to you being a tomboy as a kid. What was the difference?
Well, the difference is that my dad completely accepted it, and I think it was probably, you know, fairly easy for him too because I wanted to be just like him, and I was interested in the same things he was interested in, and so when I was with him, you know, when I was young, he was a single dad, and we got to pal around and do guy things, and whereas for my mom, I think it was difficult because I think a lot of parents, hopefully we're getting better at this, but for a long time, you know, parents impose their idea of what their child's going to be even before that child is born. You have hopes and dreams and I don't think I fit into what my, you know, mom's idea of what her daughter would be like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that that's what I'm told about the documentary. I haven't seen it yet, but that it's kind of great that she's so real and she's really not editing herself. I mean,
yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it is. It's, you know, it's just the reality of the situation. This is a hard thing for parents to deal with. They go through a grieving process, and I really, you know, respect the fact that she can be honest about it.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I love that you say is you were surprised at how cool straight guys are to each other. You're just,
true.
Yeah.
I really had no idea. I mean, I don't know if women have a camaraderie thing going on or not, but I wasn't privy to it because I certainly, you know, never presented as a typical woman. But once I started transitioning and really, you know, looking and acting male, I noticed just how nice guys are to each other. And it was really kind of took me by surprise.
Now, did you, you're on Oprah today. Is that pre-tape? Did you already tape it or is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
That when did we tape that? On Thursday, last Thursday.
Did she make you cry? Because she's sneaky like that.
No. I'm not a crier.
Yeah.
So I knew that was, I even told them, I said, you know, don't even go for it because it's not going to happen.
Because I don't have those hormones anymore.
Exactly.
ChazBono.net is the website. The book is The Story of How I Became a Man. Chaz, really a pleasure to talk to you again. Thanks so much.
Such a pleasure to talk to you. I've always been such a big fan of yours.
So
I'm glad we got to do this.
Oh, thank you so much. All
thank
right, Chaz.
Okay.
There he goes. Bye-bye. See, I said he. Got it. Now I hope.
That's because I put
now, don't give away the secrets. He has a giant sign that says he. Like, I'm going
he,
to.
He. Him,
Cher makes
his,
that mistake a lot
he.
More than I do. Now I hope that he and his girlfriend have kids someday and that they use that little chastity pantsuit that they. I love that little pantsuit with the little spangles on it that she always wore on Sonny and Cher.
You know what? It's interesting that she said that her dad was more okay with it. Sorry, you're right.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha. It's interesting that he said that his dad was more okay with being a tomboy because he's the one who turned out to be a Republican.
Yeah,
you
know? I know. See, sometimes it doesn't take partisan stuff. Is,
you're right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, my mom reminded me yesterday on Mother's Day how cool she was when I came out. I'm like, I know. I thought you'd be a big old Republican homophobe. You're right. I was wrong.
Yeah.
I did. I spent so long judging them that, you know, thinking they would judge me. I was judging them.
Yep.
But you have these categories, Republican, Catholic, and yada, yada. I said that I spoke to a gay group at my alma mater yesterday, Jim, to the gay graduates at USC.
Wow.
Yes. I'm a little gloomy. For
they allow
kind of
that at the University of Spoiled Children?
I said, listen, I thought I was going to be Carol Burnett when I was here. That's another dream that died. I said, listen, I find when God shuts a door somewhere else he shuts a window too and you're screwed. But listen, is that too dark for a graduation speech? Good luck. I'm sure it'll all turn out
fine. Good
luck
finding careers.
Especially in this economy. No,
I tried to
be uplifting at the end. It was the whole thing about sometimes your dream just looks different than you thought it was going to, and blah blah blah, and it might be better. And
don't mind the radiation, you know.
I completely lied to them. That's what I did.
Oh, but Bin Laden's dead, huh?
How about that?
All right.
19.
Oh my God.
Oh,
wow.
I'm tired. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. AIDS is not over. Support Ryan's 300-mile, 4-day bike ride and prove that progressives still care about HIV/AIDS victims. We have not forgotten. Give $550, $500 at StephanieMiller.com right now. That's Brian Tarani from The Mike, 92.1
yep,
FM.
We love him.
Madison. Yes, we do. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Well, I knew it, Chris. I knew that we would be the first to find them.
What?
The Bin Laden outtakes.
Oh, yes.
He apparently dyed and trimmed his beard for the cameras. He shot and reshot his remarks till the timing, the lighting were just right. He had a lot of, there were like bloopers, outtakes.
There were.
Yeah, we have them.
America, you may think I'm lying in a shallow grave somewhere in the Tora Bora, but the jihad continues. And I say to you, death to Amway!
No.
Amway? What? Amway? What am I, high? Okay, take two. And I say to America, Your President Bush will... Wait, did I say Bush? It's such a silly Billy. I meant to say President Osama. Oh, wait, no, that's me. Oh, cut. We can fix that in post, right? And I say again to the infidels. Oh, soccer ball right to the nads. Damn fool kids. Oh, I swear to fly a plane into your house someday.
We'll be right back to Abadabad's funniest compound videos after this message from the great Satan.
He was angry at the kids with the soccer balls.
He got hit in the nads.
Hilarious.
It's Abadabad's funniest
compound videos.
Abadabad. Abadabad.
Right in the left one.
Abadabad.
Apparently, he kept cricket balls, too, not just soccer balls.
Bastard person.
I know.
Abadabad.
That would really hurt.
Yes.
Cricket balls.
Because
they're hard. That's,
woof. Abadabad.
Yeah, they described it in the New York Times. His life was devoted to domesticity and dark arts.
The dark arts?
The dark arts.
Well, because he was running a global war on terror and what? Hanging out with the wives
what, like,
and kids.
Witchcraft?
Drawing with charcoal?
Yeah, what? The dark arts?
Don't you just...
Satanism?
It does kind of bother you. It does kind of boggle the mind, doesn't it? That he's, like, planning on this
I put a spell on you because you're mine.
I just wonder if it's like talking to any of my friends with kids. Like, he's trying to plan some, like, mass mayhem and destruction operation. Yeah. Daddy! I have told you I am busy... damn it!
Busy casting a satanic spell!
Wait, that makes me the great Satan.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't think this through, did I?
Gabrielle in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I always wanted to call. I had this dream of calling and being the official hairdresser of the Stephanie Miller Show.
How's it going so far?
I'm going to ruin it right now.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Calling to you from high atop the Skyway, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Up the transit.
Unfortunately, I have to blow you in. Semi-permanent color is still color.
Oh, yeah. You bastard person.
You still dyed your hair, Stephanie.
Can I just say in a loving hometown way, I hate you and your ass face, Gabrielle.
I just hate you and I hate your ass face.
It's not like actual color.
Uh-huh. It's a dye, sure.
See, I'm vainer than Bin Laden. I was struck, Jim, by how much my life is exactly like Bin Laden's.
You're shut in.
That's what I did this weekend.
It looks exactly like you're on
the blanket,
watching old video
watching
games.
Old, my old television shows.
Yeah, and you wear that very same cap. When you're
exactly. A little ski cap.
And you dye your hair.
Semi-permanent hair rinse. I don't have a beard anymore, though. Hey, ladies.
And you keep the neighbor's soccer balls.
Yes. Old bastards aren't getting the soccer balls for sure. Here's what I don't get is why can't they just, like normal people, throw the ball back out? They don't have to let the kids in to look for it.
Maybe fingerprints.
Oh, see? Mm,
that's DNA. What I was thinking, yeah.
Hmm. That's probably what got him. Maybe he finally decided to be a nice guy one day and throw one soccer ball out. There it is.
Yeah.
No good deed goes unpunished. Then you throw a kid's ball back. Get shot in the eye. Uh-huh. See what happens? All right. This is just weird. All right. More Bin Laden compound fun facts as we continue. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
is the single funniest hour in America.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Dan in Virginia. Hi, Dan. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, I just want to say right away that I appreciate your sanity. It's incredible with all these lefties out here. They're going crazy. Green Wall is going crazy on the Twitter machine right now. I wanted to raise the specter of this. I mean, if you look at the evidence, we fly the Bin Laden family out after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden we're going in, we've got him in Afghanistan, and all of a sudden we make a left turn towards Iraq. I think we were. I think Bush was paying the Pakistanis to harbor him. What was the Bush doctrine?
Yeah, once again, right. Dan, once again, we're back to, was it just extreme incompetence on Bush's part, or did he do it on purpose? Exactly. I just like the whole specter, Jim, of him being like Dr. Evil. Just that it hurts, Daddy, when you hit him in the nads with a soccer ball when he's trying to plan a train bombing.
Scotty, don't call me evil. It hurts, Daddy, when you talk like that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
Bring me Mr. Biggles. I'm... And then you...
Bigglesworth.
Bigglesworth. Was it Three Wives that were there? It was like some sort of terrorist Big Love episode.
Yes,
just, I don't
exactly.
know. Did they ever interrupt him when he... Because I just know what it's like when I call friends with kids. The kids pick up the phone and they start screaming about something and... Just saying. I just wondered what it was
and
like.
You love kids so much.
Around the Bin Laden household. When Daddy's planning important things. Okay.
God, it's amazing how much you were like Osama Bin Laden.
Daddy doesn't want to play Angry Birds now. Daddy's busy. Okay. It is true. It's kind of weird. Okay. From a shabby makeshift office. Hello. He ran a global terrorist empire, the world's most wanted man, watched newscasts of himself from a tiny television perched atop a rickety old desk cluttered with wires. See, this is eerie because David Bender and I are working on a book, and so this is what we've been doing. I'm getting all my old videos out, and that's me. And I sit there in the blanket, get me more wine, and I'm like, okay, here's the late night show. Here's when I hosted Equal Time with Baby Cannon.
Oh, God. Did you?
As much as I hate America, I love their Snuggies.
Here's the game show on Oxygen. What?
Did you see he also had like a desk calculator? What did he need a desk calculator for?
I just loved him with the remote.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love Entourage. Okay, hang on. Shut up, everybody.
Rumor has it that he liked Glee.
I think that's an unfounded rumor. I think you just made that up.
He was a Gleek.
I love that Dana Lynch. I do not care that she's a lesbian.
I think he dug Kurt a little more.
I normally don't like women in tracksuits, but she cracks me up. These are things that we just speculate. Bin Laden actually said when he was flipping around.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know
what's Jack Bauer going to do this week?
Oh Donald Gully!
Damn it! I love when he says that. I love a good catchphrase.
What? I don't even get the whole thing. Why did they film him watching TV? I don't even get that.
Wasn't it just like home videos?
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more stuff that they're not releasing. I think they're releasing the most mundane stuff.
But like
the outtake reels are hilarious.
But like a typical man, can't get him to give up the remote. Just, was there any video of the wives coming in? Hey, can I watch Real Housewives of the Bada-Bada or whatever? And I said, get out of here, woman.
Go make me a sandwich.
Well, there was another TV sitting dark in the corner, so you know, maybe, why didn't he just give that TV to the other wives?
You know, I don't know he was much of a feminist, really. What? You're asking me?
I don't know!
All right, let me...
I love women. Why do you think I have 17 wives?
In short clips, Bin Laden appears hunched and tired, seated on the floor, watching television wrapped in a wool blanket, wearing a knit cap.
That was your weekend.
It was my entire weekend.
So I bet he wasn't drinking grasshoppers.
The movies reveal he was still actively involved in planning and directing Al-Qaeda's plots against the U.S. The notes and computer material showed his compound was the command and control center for Al-Qaeda. Once again, Bush administration, wrong! As John McLaughlin would say, wrong!
Wrong!
He's irrelevant, he's marginalized, he's in a cave somewhere doing nothing.
Haven't had a sequel. The sequel's never as good as the original.
We'll have to see all the stuff that comes out, but he's there, you know, giving his orders, presumably.
You know,
I have one
simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Because that's so easy to get in a Bada-Bada.
Yeah.
Let's go to it.
He probably has them now.
Why did we pick somewhere landlocked, Dermot? Daryl in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, I got Stephanie Mooks. I'm confused. I'm really confused. As an attorney, I deal in circumstantial evidence all the time. Look at here. In 2005, Bush disbands this counterterrorism group that's supposed to go out and look for Obama. Yep. But in the same year, I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
We're all doing it.
Let's call him Bin Laden. Let's just say Bin Laden.
Bin Laden. So they disband this group now to go find Bin Laden. But in the same year, They started the construction on this humongous compound for Bin Laden. What up with that?
Yeah.
What up with that?
That can be a whole show. What up with that? No, I would give that guy a radio show and call it What Up
When
With
they
That.
When they run out of ideas, they go to What Up With That.
Well, that's awful. Yeah. I hate that on Saturday Night Live.
There's
Lindsay Buckingham again.
Did you see Tina Fey, Sarah Palin again? God, I love that impression. Oh, yeah, okay, it's just me again. Hello. She talked about getting rid of the, we finally got rid of the most evil person in the world, Katie Couric.
Yes, that was funny.
Yeah. Going, funny. Well, funny. All right. Jim. I don't want closure. There is no closure after tragedy. I want memory and justice and revenge. When you're dealing with a mass murderer who bragged about incinerating thousands of Americans and planned to kill countless more, that seems the only civilized and morally sound response. Who said that?
Obama bin Laden.
Maureen Dowd, another great piece. Killing evil doesn't make us evil. Who said we briefly celebrated one of the few clear-cut military victories we've had in a long time, a win that made us feel like Americans again, smart and strong and capable of finding our enemies and striking back at them without getting trapped in multi-trillion dollar Groundhog Day occupations? Who said that?
Barry Osama.
Maureen Dowd. Another piece of why killing evil doesn't make us evil. Who said, unlike Osama, the Navy SEALs took great care not to harm civilians. They shot bin Laden's youngest wife in the leg and carried two young girls out of harm's way before killing Osama. Morally and operationally, this was counterterrorism at its finest. We have nothing to apologize for. Who said that?
Doreen Maud.
That was closer, though.
Is that her evil
Dowd
twin?
In the New York Times yesterday.
Kind of like Samantha and Sabrina on Bewitched.
Yeah.
Just throw a dark wig on Elizabeth Montgomery and you got the evil twin.
Buddy in Columbus. Hey, buddy.
Hey, mama. What up with that?
Yeah, what up with that, buddy?
What up with that? Hey, look, I saw an interview with Pushev Mazarov, the former head of Pakistan.
Pakistan, yeah.
Yeah, and they would say, well, it turned out in 2005, one of bin Laden's wives told the Pakistani military, he says, hey, he's there. Our son goes visits him all the time. A guy from Al-Qaeda was arrested in Abbottabad this January, and they said, what were you there for? He says, oh, I'm there to visit bin Laden. And then Musharraf was told to his face in 2004, said, hey, bin Laden's in this town in Pakistan. You know, the idea they didn't know and people in the Bush administration didn't know is just garbage.
Yeah. The president was talking about that this week, and he said obviously bin Laden benefited from some sort of support network. He said we don't know whether there might have been some people inside of government.
We don't know whether there might have been some people inside of government, people outside of government, and that's something that we have to investigate, and more importantly, the Pakistani government has to investigate.
And Senator John Kerry, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, on the very same subject.
It is extraordinarily hard to believe that he could have survived there for 5 years or more in a major population center without some kind of support system and knowledge.
It's also extraordinarily hard to believe that John Kerry wasn't president in 2004.
Yes.
But we all know how that happened.
Yes. He said, although, you know, the situation, I mean, it is a delicate situation that Hillary Clinton, obviously, and others have to deal with. He said, everybody has to understand that even in the getting of Osama bin Laden, the Pakistanis were helpful. We have people on the ground in Pakistan because they allow us to have them. We actually work with them on certain parts of the intelligence that help lead to him. And they have been extraordinarily cooperative, and it's at some political cost to them in helping us take out 16 of the top 20 al-Qaeda leaders with a drone program we have in the western part of the country. He also noted the nation possesses nuclear weapons and that cutoff in aid could weaken the U.S. ability to make sure they don't fall into the hands of terrorists. So that is another factor in this. That's troubling, shall we say.
Yeah.
All right. One more. The president talking about the Navy SEALs operation.
They're America's quiet professionals. Because success demands secrecy. But I will say this. They trained for years. They're battle-hardened. They practiced tirelessly for this mission. And when I gave the order, they were ready.
Jim, did you and your lovely wife play Navy SEAL this weekend?
I was
speculating earlier. I think a lot of people are playing Navy SEAL sex games, don't you think? It's just, it's a cool fantasy.
I think that was the furthest thing from their minds while they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now that they did it, don't you think that guy's going to have a permanent chubby? If you shot bin Laden in the eye, wouldn't you have one that lasted 40 years?
I think he's just getting ready for the next mission. That's what they do.
Not, why do you have to de-sex everything? Why do you have to take every fantasy of mine and make and destroy it?
What's sexy right. about shooting somebody in the eye?
I don't want it's Bin Laden. It's like killing Hitler or something. I'm just
you really
saying.
Are your brother.
All right.
Yeah, what is wrong with you?
You connect sex with extreme violence.
I'm not talking about the violent part. I'm just talking about the cool Navy SEAL part.
Right.
Just saying. But all right.
There got to be websites about your affliction.
All right, I'll go check it out. 45 minutes
yeah,
after
you
the hour.
Alone will go check that out.
All right, 45 minutes.
Don't put me on that.
You got to teach me how to use the interwebs. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
That's a song they use at Gitmo to get people to talk.
Mm-hmm. That's how we actually got this information. 50 minutes after the hour. Abadabad, stop it. 1-800-STEP-12. Dot in New Orleans agrees with me about Navy SEALs. Hi, Dot.
Hello, Stephanie. I agree with you completely. My friends and I, as a matter of fact, my friends and I were saying the same thing over this weekend. So I don't understand why the guys on there don't get it.
Yeah, I know. I know there's people playing Navy SEAL sex games. They're just not down with it. It's all right. Thank you.
Shooting someone in the eye just isn't sexy.
Not that part. The whole breaking in thing. Well, why do you think every porn film starts with, oh, who's there?
How
oh,
can
it's
you...
a burglar or something. You know what I mean?
It's more like a pizza guy.
Yes, whatever. I don't watch a lot of porn, but you get the idea.
Pizza is
There's
sexy.
A storyline.
Gunplay is not.
You don't have actual gunplay. It's a game.
Well, how can you divorce the thought of him getting shot in the eye from the rest of it?
Oh, for the love of God. All right, Brian in Paddock Lake, Wisconsin, with another unsolicited testimonial to the power of the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors. Mama got my and my hubby's mama Sherry's berries. Berries.com. Type Stephanie in the box. Thank you. Got a call from Mom last night. If she got them, she loved them. Couldn't stop talking about how huge, huge,
huge,
huge
the strawberries were. They are the huge. Thank you. All right.
By the way, did you see Daryl Hammond on Saturday Night Live on
no.
Saturday? Mm-hmm. As Donald Trump said the word huge.
Mm-hmm. Huge. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure we'll get that check any minute now. Mm. All right. Janet in Tucson with a knock-knock joke. Knock-knock. Who's there? Land Seal. Okay, I get it. It's a Saturday Night Live reference.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Navy SEAL. The door. Walter in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie. I have a sure sign that Bin Laden is dead.
How's that?
They regifted his wife.
Why? Okay, that's... What? Didn't somebody post something about what his last Facebook posting was?
Yes.
Someone's at the door.
BRB. Someone's at the door.
All right. The president on the mission.
Very few people in the White House knew. The vast majority of my most senior aides did not know that we were doing this. There were times where you wanted to go around and talk this through with some more folks, and that just wasn't an option.
Yeah, that's why I can never be president. I'm too chatty. I tell everybody everything.
Yeah.
We're getting about, that's what we're working on. Okay. The president talking about the watching the
operation.
It was
the longest 40 minutes of my life, with the possible exception of when Sasha got meningitis when she was 3 months old, and I was waiting for the doctor to tell me that she was all right. It was a very tense situation.
And when you heard Sarah Palin's speech at the convention.
That was the longest 40 minutes of everyone's life.
God.
Oh, dear God.
We were there for it.
Oof. All right. And the First Lady, Michelle Obama.
We've all seen just in the last week how much these folks deserve our support. I mean, just imagine a small group of brave men dropped by helicopter half a world away in the dead of night into unknown danger inside the lair of the most wanted man in the world.
I love that she called it a lair.
It's a lair.
My secret underground lair.
which cost $1 million. That is what they're saying it cost. Didn't they say it was $1 million?
Well, yeah. Yep. They were trying to pump it up as being some
$1 million.
It's not. It's a foreclosure in Fresno.
All right. Oh, this is the latest, by the way. NBC News poll finds nearly two-thirds of Americans back President Obama's decision not to release the photos taken after Osama bin Laden's death.
And the other third watch Fox News.
Exactly. Exactly. The U.S. wants access to bin Laden's three wives. So do I. I want to... Can you imagine, Chris, what they would do for my self-esteem? Talk to three women that make worse romantic choices than me. Just, how about the one that rushed the commandos? Now, that's a chick with commitment. Not only is she with bin Laden, but she, like, rushed. That's why she got shot in the leg. Mm-hmm. She was trying to, like, I don't know what she was doing. I was,
maybe
she's thinking?
Trying to get out. We just get the hell out of there. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Well, they said she was trying to protect him, that she was rushing toward the, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying. How many of you would rush toward a Navy SEAL? I'd be like, girlfriend, first of all, Osama bin Laden in the first place, second place, they're Navy SEALs. What do you think you're going to do?
I don't think she quite knew exactly who these people
maybe
were.
Maybe she couldn't see. Maybe she had a burqa on. Maybe that was it. Maybe she couldn't see what was happening exactly. Who knows, right? All right.
I don't know.
I'm speculating.
Yes, you are.
All right. Paul Pillar is a former CIA operative talking about the bin Laden videos.
What U.S. authorities are trying to do by releasing this kind of video is make the point that we have a lot of stuff that we took possession of on Sunday, and that makes the other bad guys, other people in the organization, fearful, uncertain, wondering how much more stuff we got.
Yeah, he looks sort of just like a silly, vain, little delusional man in the videos instead of this, you know, mastermind.
And here's the time I was on Carson in 1987.
Check this out. Oh, this is funny.
I get a huge laugh on this one. No.
Yeah, that and the beard dyeing and the outtakes. And Oh, Jim said, who did Osama bin Laden bloopers?
Oh, it was Family Guy.
Family Guy did that.
Oh, yeah, years ago.
Yeah. Turns out there were. There's outtakes. There's bloopers.
Yeah, he was distracted by a light blowing out. Did you see that one?
I did.
Yeah. Yeah, you see a big flash.
Is that a Navy SEAL? Yeah. Oh.
You
no,
see a flash off to the side and he goes, oh.
But he was relieved when it was just a light bulb.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. John McLaughlin, former acting CIA director.
This was a man who was obsessed with his image, and rightly so. This is, in many ways, Al-Qaeda's most powerful tool was its use of video and its use of the Internet.
And Tom Donilon, the National Security Advisor.
Osama bin Laden was involved operationally in strategic direction and the direction of operations, including their propaganda efforts, obviously.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, so he wasn't just a marginalized figure. He was directly involved.
That's a series stuff. Of some sort, like Dexter, isn't it? With the wife and kids there and still planning the terrorist attacks. And I just...
Whatever.
The whole thing's just...
Daddy kills people. Bad people.
What does your dad do?
What do you know about Dexter?
I just,
that's
I
not
don't,
your kind of show.
It's a serial killer show. I don't watch it. It's like Dexter meets Big Love is all I'm saying. There's lots of wives and there's lots of killing and it's, you know.
And he tries to keep a normal home life.
And Jim said, Bill, who's Bill? Just Jim said, he probably got hit in the nads with soccer balls from his kids when he was in the middle of play. Maybe that's why the train bombing thing never came to fruition, because he was hit in the nads by a soccer ball.
By the way, you're not the first person to call me Bill. I'm convinced I was Bill in a previous life.
Really?
When anyone ever gets my name wrong, it's always Bill.
I think I was trying to say soccer ball, and I said Bill.
Never Joe or Ted or Steve or anything. It's always Bill.
Oh, Bill. All right. All right. So WorldNet Daily is still going insane.
Hate dump.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In an orchestrated PR campaign following the death of Osama bin Laden, President Barack Hussein Obama, they never say his name without the Hussein.
Exactly.
In conjunction with the American Muslim community... It's spewing forth an amazing message. The time for healing between Muslim Christians and Jews has come with OBL's demise.
No, he was saying that before.
In short, what we saw this week was Obama and his Muslim friends literally making love with each other, all made possible
literally?
Thanks to the death of OBL. While it was theater of the sur, it does not seem to be a denouement in sight to Obama and his administration's support of Muslims at our expense.
Or denouement. That's a more immediate than a devenement.
58 after the hour. I hate you. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow, Charlie Pierce and the returns of Tuesdays with Tyler, Aisha Tyler.
Hooray!
Our sexy liberal friend joins us. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice Dee Dee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Guess who? Like Jonathan from Richmond did. Staff, I bought my mom a ticket last week for the for Mother's Day for the Raleigh-Durham Sexy Liberal Show because I love her, you, Jahal, John, Freedom, and teabagging. Hooray for that. Jonathan from Richmond, where they only broadcast right-wing talk, but I have an iPhone, so ha-ha. Ha-ha. Near. Yeah, if you loved your mom and America, you bought her a ticket for the Sexy Liberal Show. Not too late for Syracuse. It's this Saturday.
Warning. The Department of Liberal Comedy has just issued a statement raising the laugh alert level for Syracuse, New York to Code Orange.
John Boehner, not a color that appears in the natural world.
In an effort to protect the public from the side effects of John Boehner's curious orange hue.
You mean I'm going to stay this color?
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show has been dispatched to Syracuse, New York, home of the real orange men.
When are we going to stand up and take them on?
On Saturday, May 14th, at the On Center Krauss-Heinz Theater. Join Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and Stephanie Miller for an evening of perfect progressive brilliance and non-stop laughter.
That's at the top of our list.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the On Center Krauss-Heinz Theater in Syracuse, May 14th. It's the only antidote to John Boehner's orange, for the orange.
All right, and all upcoming shows at Ticketmaster.com, Raleigh, Durham, Minneapolis, Boston. And, Chris, if you're a big Midwestern city, you might have a really exciting announcement very soon.
Wow.
I would say this week sometime, if I was a guessing person. All right, also want to thank the graduates, the gay graduates at USC. Jim, who I spoke to yesterday. I'm not a sunny person, really. I talked about how I thought I was going to be Carol Burnett back then, and all my dreams have died, and I found that when God shuts a door somewhere, somewhere else a window shuts too, and you're screwed. But good luck, everybody. It only gets worse. No, I turned it all around, Jim, and made
turned that, found upside down.
Jackie from Fargo writes, Staff, you have nothing on the guy that spoke to our high school graduating class of 81. He proceeded to list facts that in 10 years from now, 30% of us would be divorced, 50% of us would be out of work, and best of all, 15% of us would be dead.
Wow.
Okay. There's one worse graduation speaker than me. All right.
That's a guy who really didn't want that job.
He's really
did not want to be asked back.
I'm telling you, I don't want to give a graduation speech. Things have not worked out well for me. All right. And
you're gonna hate it.
And a love letter real quick from Jim in Santa Monica, who tried to quit us, Jim. You can't quit us. Ms. Miller, I'm a longtime listener. We broke up a few years back. They always come back for more, Jim. And then you have to get a restraining order. That's another story. Listen, I self-induced a social experiment caused me to pack up my toothbrush and move on. I'd had enough opinion and disappointment in any flavor from any mouth. For 3.5 long years, I wandered alone. By chance, I circled around and discovered your show again. Now, after 3 months, I'm hooked, just like heroin. How wonderful.
Wow.
Please accept my compliments. The intervening years have allowed me to discover and better appreciate your showmanship and hair trigger sense of humor.
Hope he hasn't gotten to the point where he's injecting into his eyelids.
Yes, that's bad. Then you know, you've gone too far. Don't put the podcast on your eyelid. The Stephanie Miller Show has evolved and matured.
What?
No one's ever accused us of that. Into a tight, vigorous, and entertaining prescription for this insane time. Jim in Santa Monica tried to quit me.
Oh, here's here's a letter from Scott in New Jersey. Only Stephanie Miller could tout her theater degree and mispronounce denouement in the same hour.
Just shows she's human.
All right. Speaking of delightful and mature.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos and motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore
it. Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg. Happy Monday.
Happy Mother's Day plus one.
Did you enjoy the, thank you to you as well.
Yes.
Did you enjoy the Bin Laden's funniest home videos this weekend?
It was just this pitiful, horrible man sitting there in his little chair watching this video.
No. That was a different video.
Oh, okay.
I was shocked at how remarkably like my life. Exactly. So, terrorism, loserdom. Who can tell? Yeah. There's such a fine line.
Do you dye your beard?
I do semi-permanent rinse on my...
But you don't have a beard.
I don't need a beard anymore. Oh. Both the hair on my head.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
At any rate. Yeah, but it's kind of Norma Desmond, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It really
He's still
is.
Big. It's terrorism that got small.
Well, when you think about the evil that he has propagated on the earth.
Yes.
I kind of wished he had been tortured or something.
Oh, Edie McClurg, look at you. See, she's even worse than I am, Jim. See, they've been saying I'm too bloodthirsty. I can't. But I think it's like, to me, I lived in New York during 9/11. I think it's a release.
Yeah,
you know, you go a lot of times, people go for dark humor, and I think there is a huge kind of release and relief that's happened for people. Listen, I've been having 10 years delayed America Strikes Back sex. You know how it is. It's been pent up for years. And
good.
Really?
Well, with myself, but still, you know, I'm just saying, you know, you've got to release at some point.
So, you got a new mechanical device.
Yes, just in honor of.
In honor.
Yes.
Celebration.
It's my Navy SEAL vibrator.
What?
I don't. Edie McClurg, look at you dragging me down to the gutter again. Trying to keep it a wholesome family show.
It's a familiar place.
So the right wing continues to, just unbelievable, not give the president any credit. So Rick Santorum. Okay, I'm just giving. I pause now for you to Google it. Okay. He was on Laura Ingraham's radio show saying 9/11 family should be furious with Obama for claiming any credit for the successful bin Laden raid.
Wow.
What?
Well,
when clearly
who,
it's all
who
George
should
Bush's
get
idea.
The credit then?
Well, I'll read these transcripts. He said 9/11 families and everybody else in America should be furious at this president that he's walking around taking credit for, you know, getting Osama bin Laden. He didn't get Osama bin Laden. The president of the United States simply said, courageous act, give him credit for saying yes. That's all he did is say yes. So, see, the Navy SEAL's apparently in charge of the commander-in-chief, not the other way around.
Yeah.
So, he didn't really have anything to do with it. He just, you know, said yes. Okay.
As you know what I loved was the video or the picture of all of the president and his staff.
Yeah.
Watching, you know, the invasion take place.
Except they weren't really watching it. It turns out that they had a 25-minute blackout, video blackout.
Right, they were listening.
It was audio.
They were listening. Okay.
Yeah. And we think the when Hillary had her hand over her face because Biden farted, just to break the tension.
Oh,
you know, sometimes you got to just. It's very tense.
You ought to cut out scotches.
So now the president's approval rating has gone up, as you know, in the wake of all this. But now, I mean, now. He promised a teen who lost her father on 9/11 meeting with Justin Bieber.
Oh, God.
I mean, if he delivers the Bieber, because who doesn't have the Bieber fever? What girl doesn't have the Bieber fever?
Who has promised this?
The president. Yes. After the tweets of a young woman who lost her father on 9/11 to Justin Bieber fell on deaf ears, a 14-year-old Peyton Wall decided to ask the president for help. She wrote to him. And then he responded to her letter overnight, invited her to the ceremony at Ground Zero. Where
Bieber, you're going
to
do this, or you're going to get shot in the eye.
I was just going to say, after the Navy SEAL, I don't think he really needs to say why he needs you to do something. Just do it.
Yeah.
So he gave her.
Did you see the video?
Team 6. Two words for you.
Team six.
He gave her a big bear hug at the ceremony. Aww. This is very cute. And they chatted about the letter and everything in it, including Justin Bieber. She spent days practicing her handshake, but then the president gave her a big presidential bear hug.
Oh, good.
And he said he knows Justin, he would help arrange a meeting between the two. Yeah, I think negotiations, Jim, on the budget are going to go much quicker. I don't think there's going to be a gang of six anymore. Just, once again, Team six.
Team six. All the same.
Just saying. Lawrence in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lawrence.
Hey, you know what? There's a little point I would like to make. I'd like to make here, and you guys tell me, am I off base or not? You know, it seems to be, and this seems to be the exact thing that's happening on your show this morning, Ed Show. All of you guys seem to be always on the defensive from Republican attacks.
He's defensive. I'm not defensive.
See what I did there?
Yeah, and he laughed.
Let me tell you how that's detrimental, because Republicans are very smart. What they do is say inflammatory and bombastic stuff like, you're baby killers. And what we do as liberals, we end up defending this, you know, ridiculous claim such as we're not baby killers. We're this, we're that. And what we do, we get our eyes off the mark, such as reform, such as health care. See, they say bombastic stuff, and we spend all our time defending it, so we never really can get our policies forward. And I can even see this in the president. If you look at his video, you can see him walking down the aisle to get at the ceremony, and then this guy drops something in front, and Michelle just quickly bends down to pick it up. What she's trying to do is show, oh, everybody, I'm just like one of you. Well, you're not. You're a policy maker. Even Michelle is in the position to make policy. So what you do is you lessen your ability to forward your policies. And I want to see what you think about that.
All right. That seems like kind of just a human and spontaneous thing to do, to pick something up. But I don't know that she thought it through that much.
That's a spontaneous...
I don't pick anything up in my house because I'm drunk normally. There's stuff that I've dropped in like 20 years ago. I don't even know what it is anymore. That's the point, right?
Well, your dogs live on those things.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the point of having dogs. 17 minutes after the hour, right back with more Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. I told the gay kids at USC yesterday, Edie, about my first experience with a woman. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, that's so naughty.
Are you allowed to do that at a commencement address?
And not the graphics.
You never told us.
No, my senior year friend said, I love you. And I'm like, I love you, too. I was dating a USC football player. She's like, no, I love you. I'm like, what do you mean? What?
What?
What do you mean by that?
Here.
Ball sex is what?
Wow. Mm. You had no idea? You never heard of that sort of thing?
No, I was a little Catholic girl from Buffalo. I was a wolf child. No one wanted to date me.
You were voting Republican.
All right. You know, we're all working out our... a lot of the dark humor about the Osama bin Laden thing, and people need to get song parodies out of their system, and we afford them an opportunity, like listener Mike in Raleigh.
I can report to the American people and to the world. The United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda.
My homies told me when they looked down the hall, this might be my last jihad. At least in Kabul I had cable, not so here. It's really bad in Abbottabad. I got myself in the way of a bullet today. I'm in the wrong place, baby. I was killed this way. I was intolerant, they say, so it's ironic today that I was shot by a platoon. Well, it's okay to be gay. Don't use a gun to save your life. Just hide behind your seventh wife. Baby, I was killed this way. Poke my head outside the door. Give me 3 steps, Mr. Maybe more. Baby, I was killed this way.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Really didn't use a wife as a human shield, but turned out not to be true.
Well, she rushed the SEAL, whatever. I don't know exactly what happened. Jim, is that wrong to have that fantasy that I hope the Navy SEAL that shot him is gay and told bin Laden right before he died? Is that wrong?
Now, that's torture. I was killed by a gay guy. Oh, no.
He'll have to go around his legs many more times.
There to go the 72 virgins. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. You can't help it. You have those, you know, diehard fantasies, the yippee-ki-yay mother something. Like, what did they say? What's the last thing they said? Something.
What is with your said, sexual fantasies?
It's not a sexual thing. It's a, this is a revenge fantasy. That's different.
Seal said, I hate you and I hate your ass face.
Yeah, I bet he said that.
I just hate you and I hate your ass face.
Or maybe call him a bastard person.
What is
you
that
know something,
from?
Mister?
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you Waiting people. Because you're bastard people.
I need to see that film.
And by the way, that dye job on your beard is horrible. Oh, and that rag you're wearing.
What were you
awful.
Thinking? Awful. You're not an autumn.
Ugh. And you are flabby. Yikes. Check out my abs. I'm just saying, don't you have a whole... There's just things that could make it even better.
Yes.
All right. Charlie Sheen. Oh, isn't this cute? Aww. Charlie Sheen is teaching his 2-year-old sons to say rehab. Isn't that?
Ha.
Which is a problem.
Good time.
That's when you know that's the first word your kids learn. Maybe there's trouble. He revealed he's trying to expand his twins, Bob and Max's vocabulary so they understand where their mother is. Oh, that's nice. He said, I'm teaching them words because they're speaking now. I'm teaching them the word rehab so they always know where their mom is. Oh, dear.
He's, oh, my God.
Yeah, I hope he's saving up some money for therapy.
He needs some.
Mm. Did he spend all the money on the hookers and blow? Because he's going to need some money for therapy. It's just going out on a limb. All right. Madonna has dumped yet another boy toy. Another
what?
One available for you.
Okay.
Yes, after 9 months together, she has sent yet another hip-hop dancer packing. Or hip-hopping, as it the case may be. I can never pronounce any of her lover's names. What is his name? Brahim Zabat. Zaybat? Something. It wasn't their 28-year age difference, apparently. His family told him they did not want him to go into Kabbalah meetings and wanted him to stick to his Muslim beliefs, which caused some fights. So it was religious differences, really.
Oh, please.
And the fact she was tired of him. Wanted a new boy toy.
Yeah.
That was one of my yuck yucks jokes, Jim, when I was dating men. I said that my last boyfriend and I broke up over religious differences. He thought he was God and I didn't. Because that was true. Okay. Madge's, what's her daughter's name? Lourdes. Lourdes. The little, yeah.
Lourdes.
Mm-hmm. She is hoping to turn her into a pop superstar, just like mommy.
Oh, boy.
She has recorded a song.
Is she also atonal?
Oh, Edie McClure. Edie Louise, you scamp. She recorded a song with her called It's So Cool that she plans to release perhaps on her next album. A source says Madonna hopes Lourdes will step into her shoes and become one of the biggest female artists in the world. Hopefully she's no, you know, Lisa Marie Presley, who's yikes. Didn't she do it? You know, remember Natalie, what's her name? Natalie Cole did a duet with her father, but she's a really good singer.
Yeah.
She did what's that, what's the song? The
famous Unforgettable.
Unforgettable.
Ironic that you would forget that one.
That is
That's
funny.
That's what you are.
Yes, they did a duet of Unforgettable, which I forgot. However, but I think Lisa Marie Presley did actually do that as well, and it didn't go as well. She's speaking of atonal.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I think we'll find it. I think we have it somewhere.
Yeah.
Great
Northern Motorhead Dog. Mm-hmm. We did a bit on that, as I
believe. Yeah, I believe we did. We'll get to that in a moment. Oh, Jim. Paul McCartney has not learned anything from the Heather Mills fiasco. He is going to marry again.
She's another human next to Slag and wants his brand mash. His coppers.
Exactly.
He's got nothing left, actually.
69-year-old Paul McCartney will try the whole marriage thing again for the third time. With his 51-year-old serious... She's a serious businesswoman this time, his girlfriend of 4 years, Nancy
Chanel. She's
got
her own money, so that's good.
Yes.
Yeah,
unlike the unidextra slag.
The unidextra slag.
That he couldn't see that coming, you know.
Who, Heather Mills?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, that it...
She's a nothing.
I can't ever think of her without seeing her leg fly off on Dancing with the Stars. I mean, come on. That's just not a moment you forget. It's hard to top that.
Yeah. Even Kirstie Alley can
top that. Absolutely. Dancing with the Stars is just such a train wreck. I just enjoy the hell out of it.
Right. Much like that's why she likes this show.
It's called Collapsing with the Stars.
29 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Being crushed by Kirstie.
thank you.
Stephanie Miller.
Who insisted on performing despite being ineligible for a kindergarten talent show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Are you or a loved one dealing with cancer? Sign up for a free one-hour teleseminar by Susie Ruse. You'll be informed about your choices to shift the cancer odds. Go to evictingcancer.com/Stephanie. If you'd like to sponsor an hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, go to stephaniemiller.com. Click on the sponsorship page. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, Edie McClurg, we were talking about Madonna's little tot is going to, she apparently wants to be a singer like her mother.
Mm.
Uh-huh. And we were talking about successful kids like Natalie Cole, who did the unforgettable duet with her father, Nat King Cole, and then the less successful Lisa Marie Presley one.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Hound dog! Oh, time, Daddy! Hound dog!
Ouch. I've heard
I
that
don't
outtake.
Think it was that bad. Not quite.
Are you suggesting?
That was so, before autotune.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of things that were released, Edie, we were talking about the Osama bin Laden videos, obviously, released this weekend.
Yeah.
Looked disturbingly like my life, as I mentioned earlier.
Oh.
Well, it's a fine line, terrorism and just loserdom, you know, because I sit in with an old blanket watching myself. On old television shows as well, and I don't see what's wrong with that. I don't even know where did we find this? It somehow
it was
came into
part of the treasure trove.
Yeah,
that, we found.
Because he had outtakes, you know, yes. Like an actor rehearsing, he kept flubbing his lines for his little terrorist tapes, and we somehow have come by the outtakes.
Okay, are we rolling? Speed? Okay, good. You may think I'm lying in a shallow grave near Tora Bora, but the jihad continues, and I say to you, death to Amway. Amway. What? America, what am I, high? Okay, take two. And I say to America, your President Bush... Wait a minute, did I say Bush? Such a silly filly, I meant to say President Osama. No, wait, that's me! Cut. We can fix it in post, right? Okay. And I say again to the infidels... Oh! Soccer ball right to the nads! Damn fool kids! I swear I'll fly a plane into your house!
We'll be right back with Batman's funniest cop ad videos after this message from the great Satan.
That's probably what disrupted the latest plot, is he got a soccer ball in the nads from one of his kids. It's Abbottabod's funniest home videos.
Abbottabod. Abbottabod. Abbottabod.
All right.
Paper? Ernie.
All right. Oh, heavens. I don't know why I haven't been invited to head one of these, but Slutwalk continues. Have you heard of Slutwalk? Slutwalk protests continue. In Boston, chanting, "We love sluts."
Slut! She's a slut! Look at her, slut!
And holding signs like, "Jesus loves sluts." Approximately 2,000 protesters marched Saturday around the Boston's Common as the city officially become the latest to join the international series of protests known as Slut Walks. The protest movement, sparked by a Toronto police officer's remark that women could avoid being raped by not dressing like sluts, came to Boston after advocates saw similar events, organized largely through Facebook and Twitter, popped up in Canada, England, and other parts of the U.S.
So do they wear fancy, shiny clothes and things like that?
This,
Short skirts?
I love there was always guys trying to get a little action.
Oh, yeah.
Before the march, a small group of counter-protesters wearing colorful cowboy hats with feathers and holding a boombox that played hip-hop and 70s funk walked around the gathering, dubbed the Pimp Walk. Organizer Samuel Belowski said his group just wanted to get some numbers and talk to attractive women.
Uh-huh.
Get some digits. That's what he meant to say.
Boy. That guy.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, boy. Not until the Sexy Liberal Show gets to Boston Saturday, July 16th. Have there been so many happy sluts. Okay. Edie, the right wing continues to go insane, trying to find something bad in the president finally getting bin Laden. The headline is, right wing blogs claim Obama had American flag taken down from ground zero.
What?
ABC what? News, like most things in my world, it's not true, you see, but Oh. ABC News' Jake Tapper tweeted, he said, showing cranes removing a U.S. flag from the Ground Zero site with the caption, 1 minute to air, and they decided to take the flag down from the shot. So the right wing went insane. Malkin, all of them went crazy. The administration and, by extension, the Democrat Party are now so thoroughly divorced from history, tradition, and morals of America, we might as well admit the Marxist left has executed a successful coup d'etat in this republic.
What?
One problem is it wasn't true. Multiple photos show the flag was on full display when Obama arrived at Ground Zero. His tweet was posted at 6:30, hours after the president had left. In all likelihood, he was saying that the flag was being removed before his live shot, before ABC World News when he made his tweet.
Yeah.
But that's a whole news cycle.
What a lot of harumphing that is, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Marxist left? Really? We have one of those?
Apparently. Here's some good news. Some reality-based community. The Washington Post poll. The birther burble has a... Birther bubble?
Burble.
You were going to say burst, as Bing Crosby would say. Oh, can you try it?
Did he think he wasn't
on
the air?
With this much Chardonnay in your system. The birther burble has, burble bubble has burst.
The number of Americans
saying President Obama was born in another country has been sliced in half, according to a new Washington Post poll. Fully 70% of Americans now say Obama was born in Hawaii, a big bump up from the 48% who said...
They won't admit Hawaii was part of the United States.
Birther bubble bump up.
They admit that his rubber baby buggy bumper...
Birther baby bump up bump.
...was indeed...
On the blue of the night.
Born.
Meets the gold
in Hawaii.
Of the day.
Okay.
Wow.
I'll be coming home to you.
The birther bubble has burst in the wake of the rubber baby buggy bunker.
Bunker.
Of the Obama babyhood.
He should have lived in a rubber baby buggy bunker.
All right.
Bunker.
For the love of God. All right. Even more say he was U.S. born or call that their best guess for a total of 86%.
Their best guess.
Overall, 10% of Americans say Obama was likely born abroad, down from 20% in April. 14% of Republicans still say Obama was not born in the U.S., down from 31%. Among the most conservative Republicans, the number of skeptics fell from 35% to 16%. There you go. But they're still
That's all they've got. The only thing we can't impeach him for anything. But he wasn't born here. Ha ha! He can't be president because he was. Okay, there's the person. Crap.
By the way, is this a tacit admission that they're just racist on the Republican side, Bobby? Because you didn't ask for it, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal releases his birth certificate. Is he just? He's like, my skin's a little too dark. I guess I better.
Yeah.
Too much melanin. Here it is. Who asked? Nobody asked. But He released the certificate as a preemptive strike, should his name be in the running as a vice presidential candidate or whatever.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Because he believes he can do anything.
I can do anything.
Unfortunately, most voters don't.
I think Kenneth from 30 Rock is a better shot. Than
yeah.
Although they may need an exorcist on the ticket in order to... Because he did exorcise demons from his girlfriend. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bobby Jindal's an exorcist.
When was
That's
that?
His exercise
College.
Video.
People do a lot of funny things in college.
Yeah, sure. Who hasn't tried to exercise a demon from their girlfriend? What? Oh, boy. All right. Speaking of the 2012 report.
Well, Michelle Bachmann was a witch.
Really?
Yeah, she dabbled in witchcraft.
No, that was
Christine O'Donnell.
Christine O'Donnell.
You're confusing your bat crazy Republican women.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Wow, this is how bad things are. Some of Iowa's top Republican campaign contributors, unhappy with their choices in the developing presidential field, are venturing to New Jersey in hopes they can persuade the Governor Soros, Chris Christie, to run, who has repeatedly said that he will not run. But they think he's bold, courageous, refreshing, intemperate, crazy.
I think that's one thing he can't do is run. Not very far.
They better give him he needs a really big head start.
Stop it.
If he's going to run. It is unusual. Candidates typically court Iowans, not the other way around. This is just how sad I think their field is, particularly if you watch that debate the other night. It's just a barren wasteland. Yeah. So they're going to win. Boom! Say, we set all the old people on fire. Boom! That's how you cut Medicare. Bada-bing! I said it! I did not vaporize into the carpeting, eh? I loved him on The Sopranos, didn't you?
Which one?
Governor Christie. He was Bobby. All right, and then, oh boy, this is when you know things are really bad, Jim. Giuliani might be talked into running.
Oh, yes. God.
Didn't he just lose his only issue?
The president's done nothing but bin Laden. What? Oh, crap.
9/11.
Give me something. Give me something to run on. Something. I need some.
Mediaite.com.
This is ridiculous.
Mediaite.com writing, watch out, Herman Cain. That's the crazy pizza guy.
Yeah.
The first 2012 Republican presidential debate concluded all of 48 hours ago, and already the political world is seeing possible after effects, namely that the field appears to be so barren that even the longest of 2008 long shots are considering jumping into the fray. The latest whispers surround former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who noted in Washington, D.C., that he could probably be talked into another run.
And Bernie Kerr could be my running mate. He'd be fabulous vice president.
Well, the more candidates that want the thing, that's,
once he gets out of
that
prison.
Will defuse the vote. Probability.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, go ahead. Everybody jump in. Jump in.
Jim, fine. You know who it looks like could be reanimated even is Dick Cheney, who apparently.
Isn't he dead?
He's a cyborg. Listen.
I'm planning to just have my brain put in a jar and sit in the Oval Office. I won't need a physical body anymore to conduct evil experiments on.
He says he still hasn't decided whether to seek a heart transplant. He told Fox News Sunday yesterday that his health has improved. He's a cyborg.
Wow.
Since last year when
my
he was
health
diagnosed,
has improved.
When he was diagnosed with end-stage heart failure, he had an operation last summer to fit his body with a battery-powered device that helps his heart pump blood. So he's not really even made of human parts anymore, and yet his health is somehow miraculously better.
He's past the end stage.
He apparently is already dead and yet still on Fox News.
It is International Zombie Month.
Which is what, the Fox?
Who?
I'm dead. That's the news break. That doesn't mean I can stop talking. Planning evil stuff.
Physical body expired some time ago, but the evil lives on.
Well, he's turned into Clint Eastwood on crack.
Last week we passed the day that... Terminator 2 Judgment Day, that the company was founded that built all of the cyborgs that took over the world.
I bet you next time he's on Fox News, he's going to just turn into like a little pool of mercury.
That is eerie, though, that they timed that so perfectly.
Yeah. He's going to melt into a little pool of mercury and then, you know, magically reanimate right before the cameras go on Fox News, I think. And prove that he is a Terminator. He's
a
cyborg.
My evil cyborg army will take over the country and in the world.
His glasses fall off and one of his eyes just looks like Schwarzenegger's. Yeah. Okay. All right. 46 minutes after
I'll
the hour.
Back and things of this nature.
I guess they need to put a stake through the heart to make sure.
But he doesn't have a heart. That's
No.
Nice plan, though. No.
Yeah, well, it could have been.
The Stephanie Miller Show takes no responsibility for what Edie McClure just said. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 52 minutes after the hour, in the midst of the Mondays with McClurg. Tomorrow, Charlie Pierce, and Tuesdays with Tyler, Aisha Tyler returns. Ooh. Yay!
Is she on the road, or is she going to be here?
She's going to be here.
Ooh.
In studio, Joe in Long Beach. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph, thank you.
Hi.
Hey, look, and I've always said that Dick Cheney does not have a heart, but it seems to me that looking for a heart transplant at his age, can you imagine the bill that would cost us? And the fact is, with five other hospitalizations, the amount of money that's been spent either on Medicare or government insurance to pay for this guy?
That's right. Can you imagine if the budget monster succeeded? Poor Dick Cheney. If he only had a heart. The budget monster would destroy Medicare, and that would be it.
Oh, man.
Let's see. David writes, staff, to my morning sanity saviors. See that? If we're in charge of your sanity, you are in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Here in Minnesota, we like to parade our crazies out in the daylight rather than hide them under a bushel, thus preventing others the opportunity to see their light. We hope you're all enjoying Michelle Bachmann. Yes, we are.
Computer 38.
Thank you. Special kind of crazy. Between thinking the shot heard around the world was in New Hampshire and taxes are akin to millions being murdered during the Holocaust and her very tidy husband, she is our own she is our own version of the Pasadena Doodah Parade. She is a one-woman doodah parade. In her relentless effort to appear more hypocritical and just plain out of touch, she has now embraced the gayest show on TV, Glee, as something for all the kids to watch. Insert Scooby-Doo here. Yeah, this is from a story. This week's example of conservative hypocrisy is priceless. Obsessively anti-gay congresswoman and presidential hopeful Michelle Bachmann reportedly embraced the stars of the hit TV show Glee at a Time magazine gala that took place in New York. Do you think someone told her, you know, it's really gay? Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what, though? That show seems to be popular among Republicans. I have a Republican friend from college who loves Glee.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Mm. I don't.
You're all so clean cut.
It's kids singing.
Yeah.
Who cares what they do with their naughties?
Oh, you're going to Syracuse.
I'm going to Syracuse Saturday for the Sex and Liberal show. Yeah.
Because that was where I did my graduate work, and I was a graduate teaching assistant in the radio
did.
TV film. And Krause Irving was, you know, one of the halls that we were always going
we're
to.
We're playing at Krause Heinz Theater. Can
Krause
I like to get there?
Krause Heinz Theater. It's
just Ticketmaster.com.
Well, go down to the Orange down there.
Oh, God, yeah.
Down there on Onondaga Street.
Onondaga. Oh,
and
God.
And you could go by my old apartment. It was 2035 East Genesee
Street.
Oh,
let me write that down.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Edie, we were saying all morning that the meme, of course, on the right, all in through right-wing world, is that torture. That's what blah, blah, blah. Chris, you're right. You didn't miss something. This was the headline just this week in former CIA interrogator, painstaking intelligence work, not torture, responsible for Bin Laden capture.
Oh, what does he know?
Shortly after President Obama announced military forces akin to non-right-wing torture, apologists seized the opportunity, stating without any definitive evidence whatsoever that information gleaned from torturing al-Qaeda detainees led to his hideout in Pakistan, while reliable sources such as Senate Intelligence Committee Chair Dianne Feinstein said this week the information did not come from torture. Did not.
Okay. You can say it.
Oh, look, who, did you see the torture czar Jim piped in last week?
Mm.
John Yoo, who wrote the torture memo?
Yeah.
He made a splash by calling the decision to kill Bin Laden a flat-out mistake.
What?
At his latest appearance, he's beginning a pattern we've seen before with tragicomic, obscure Bush-era officials speaking on issues where their opinion has been, to a certain extent, devalued. He expressed energetic support for enhanced interrogation techniques. He said, I think this administration, under its own policies, would have been left asking him polite questions in something like a police station. He noted the type of interrogation. Yes, except that they shot him in the eye. he's going into, like, hypothetical land. To say, oh, well, if they hadn't, then they would have.
If only they had
probably
tortured somebody to get the information, then he'd be dead. Oh, wait.
Boy,
I gotta rethink this.
Edie, don't you love that I was saying this weekend that literally that there's like deathers now that don't believe he's dead? And I'm going, now that Al-Qaeda said they believe
no.
it. No, because Al-Qaeda has more credibility than our president.
Oh, they said it, so
yeah.
it is
because
so
Al-Qaeda is saying, yes, he's dead and he's a martyr and vowed revenge.
Such
Yeah, is Steve Doocy still going to be on the death train, do you think? Because he was last week. He said, if you don't show Bin Laden's face, then you know who's to say what's in that bag? I love this. You know when Gretchen Carlson is the voice of reason, Jin? Something has gone seriously awry. She looked at him and said, I believe it was him. Wow. Gretchen Carlson, the voice of Fox Reason. And then he also said that he didn't believe DNA evidence because it's just numbers on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he said the photographs, he said, if it exists. Like maybe claiming that maybe there aren't even photographs.
Steve Doocy.
I don't believe
I was
the existence
on his
of photographs.
Morning show on NBC. It was a local
mm-hmm.
show.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to cook with Paul Prudhomme. So he made me cook with Paul Prudhomme.
Oh, why?
And I had a great time.
Bastard.
We had a wonderful time.
Who wouldn't want to cook with Paul Prudhomme?
Well, you know, he has to sit because he's so fat. Right. And, yeah. you know, it wouldn't look good.
All right.
I'm just afraid it's going to rub
Steve
off.
Steve Doocy.
Doocy.
I have Steve Doocy.
That's right.
It's Texas Stack. A Texas high school teacher has been suspended after mocking a student about the death of Osama bin Laden. The teacher told the student, "I bet you're grieving." She basically looked at him and said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "I heard your uncle's about your uncle's death." And she said, "Wow," because she understood he was referring to Osama bin Laden being killed and was racially profiling her.
Oh, wow.
She's an American-born girl of Muslim faith.
Oh,
that's what we have teaching in Texas. I hear your uncle got killed.
You're next.
Oh, boy. All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank Edie McClurg, who is delightful as always.
Thank you, dear.
On Mondays with McClurg. I'd like to thank Crystal Boyd, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. Join us tomorrow for Charlie Pierce and Aisha Tyler on The Stephanie Miller Show.